Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. West End, we're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently, we're pleased that you're here, and those of us who are here week in and week out would like to meet you, to welcome you, and if we don't get to you quickly enough to shake your hand and say hello, you come and introduce yourselves to us, because we're pleased that you're here, we want to know you, and we would love it if you would make a home here with us. If you look in your bulletin, you'll find bulletin inserts that will give you an idea of some of the many things that God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up just a few. We are collecting peanut butter. You may have seen the bins around for Second Harvest Food Bank. During the holidays, food banks tend to be depleted, And in January, we are collecting peanut butter. You can simply bring it during the week or on Sunday, put it in those bins. We'll make sure it gets to Second Harvest. And I know that the families who receive it will be greatly, greatly helped and will appreciate it. Also, our fifth grade Sunday school class is raising money for women and children in Latin America, Asia, and Africa. This provides education about nutrition, oral rehydration, immunization, and growth monitoring. This is a project that grew out of their study in their fifth grade Sunday school class, something they wanted to learn about, and now they want to share with you. So if you have a few minutes after the service, there's a table in Reed Hall. You can go out, talk to our fifth graders, learn about these projects, and they would love it if you would donate to them as well. It's not too late to join a Covenant Discipleship group. If you have an interest in learning more about it, or you already know you would like to be a part of a group, there's an insert in your bulletin. There's a table in Reed Hall. You can drop by the table and drop that off after the service. If you can't do that and have to leave, you can put it in the offering plate and they'll be in touch with you. But last week we had a real celebration of Covenant Discipleship, but it's not too late for you to join in that this week. At Current this week, we will be focusing on activating creative practices. Our leaders will be Laura Donahue, Beth English, and J.P. Schuffman. They will talk about the ways that they nourish their own creative spirits. And if one of the things you've wanted to do in the new year is to nourish your own creative spirit, they'll be sharing some practices that can help you do that. That's at 6 p.m. following the dinner on Wednesday night in the fourth floor theater. Also, the all-church lunch is next Sunday after this service, after the 11 o'clock service. It's always delicious. Martha prepares the food, and you can always meet a wide variety of people there. It helps if we know that you're coming. We don't turn you away, but it always helps to prepare. So if you would email either Kirk Clark or simply call the church to let us know you're coming, that would be great. In observance of the birth of Martin Luther King Jr., the church offices and preschool will be closed tomorrow, Monday, January 20th. This evening at 5 p.m. in Scales Chapel, we'll have our Tuesday service. It's usually in here. It's listed in here in the calendar, but because we have a memorial service this afternoon, it has been shifted to Scales Chapel just at the other end of Reed Hall. If you've not been to this very quiet contemplative service and you would like a little break from the hustle and bustle of life, why don't you try it out, 5 p.m. this evening. And finally, we will have a charge conference on February the 11th at 5:30 at the beginning of our regular ministry table meeting. This church has very graciously been able to increase the salaries of staff persons a little bit, and you can do that just by your decision for your lay staff, but for your clergy staff, you have to have a charge conference. So the charge conference is to allow you to do that for clergy as well as lay. If you are a member of church council, you are expected to be there, but anyone is invited to come if you would like to do that. That's February 11th at 5:30. When I look out across here, do you know what I see? The variety of faces, of expressions, of colors. But you know what I really see when I look out across here? I see the body of Christ.
Oh. here in this place. In story and song, in silence and prayer.
We are reminded that God's relationship with us lasts forever.
Here, with this community,
we gather to worship and celebrate our God.
The daily Christian life is a tough road. Our words can cause harm, and sometimes we hurt one another. There are so many things that come between us and God. Whatever we may have done, said, or thought, God is waiting to offer us grace and healing. Join me now as we confess our sins together. God of grace and goodness, even with your simple commandments, often we manage to get it wrong. We misuse your name, dishonor our neighbors, and hunger for what others have. We underestimate your love. We find little time for our families and overschedule our lives. Forgive us, eternal love, when we make choices that keep us from you. Fill us with grace, hope, and peace as we strive to live in your presence. Day to day, God offers us mercy and hope. Moment to moment, we are surrounded by God's everlasting love. Trust this good news. God hears our brokenhearted prayers. Thanks be to God that we are forgiven.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Hear this lesson from the Epistle to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, you're welcome to come on down. Have a seat with us. Several years ago, I did a very silly and painful thing. I was closing the car door on our car, and I accidentally had my thumb between the car door and the car itself, and it really mashed it hard, and it really hurt, and it turned all kinds of different colors from pink to purple to black, and then finally, my thumbnail came off after a while. It really hurt. What I realized for the first time, really, was how important your thumb is. I don't think about it any time, usually, but there are certain things it's really hard to do without your thumb. Try to write with a pencil or a pen without your thumb. It's not easy. Now, the thumb is just a little thing, but it's really important. Now, just think if, let's say, your ear were to say to your eye, "You're not important, get out of here, we don't need you." We wouldn't be able to see. Or your eye said to your ear, "You're not important, get out of here, we don't need you." You couldn't hear. Or your hand said to your foot, "We don't need you, get out of here." Or your foot said to your hand, "We don't need you anymore." St. Paul tells a story about this very thing. He says, we all are the body of Christ, and each of us is like a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear or maybe a thumb. Maybe I'm a big toe, I don't know. But whatever we are, we're a part of that body, and every single one of us is important. Just because you're a thumb doesn't mean you're not important. Everybody's important. It's just important that we do the part that God has called us to do. Now, sometimes in church we think, well, what I do is more important than what somebody else does. St. Paul says, What's important is God has given us everything we need. And all we have to do is put it together and work together, and we help God accomplish whatever it is God wants to do in the world. So, think about, if you were to be a part of Christ's body, which part would you think you would be? An eye, an ear, a hand, a foot, a mind, a nose? I don't know. Think about that. But you are a part of Christ's body. And all of you are important. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for letting us be a part of Christ's body. Thank you for telling us that we are each and every one important, that none of us can say to the other, "You're not needed, we don't want you," that all together we can do what you have asked us to do, with your help, of course. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Well, now, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of y'all. Except for Crispus and Gaius. Well, and then there was the family of Stephanus. And beyond that, I don't remember. But that's not important. What in the world has gotten into Paul? What got his knickers in a twist? This is just the start of the letter. He starts out in a very calm, usual fashion with a salutation. He tells you who the letter's from. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, even that's a little controversial, though. You wouldn't think so, but there were people in the early church who did not think Paul was an apostle because Paul never knew Jesus in the flesh. So there was some dispute about that. He was offering his credentials. Who's the letter to? To the saints. Do you know you are all saints? Yep. According to St. Paul, each and every one of you, to the saints that gather in Corinth. They would have gathered in small house churches, probably, in various houses around the city. He would have dictated the letter, perhaps to Sosthenes, his companion there, whom he mentions. And it would have been read aloud in those house churches. He gives thanks for the people he's writing to, and then he assures them of something that should be obvious, I guess. God has given you everything you need to do what God wants you to do. Well, you know, that's kind of radical news in our day and time, because we are bombarded from all directions saying, you don't have everything you need. You need this new toothpaste. Then your smile will gleam. You need this new outfit. Then you'll be attractive to the opposite sex. You need this new car. Then everybody will envy you. You need this new house. Then you'll have some status. We are constantly told, you're not enough. You don't have enough. But guess what? Whatever you're missing, I've got it and I'll sell it to you. St. Paul says, no. You already have everything you need from God to do what God has called you to do. That's reassuring, I think. We have everything we need in this congregation to be the loving light of Christ, which is what we say God has called us to be, in this community, in this nation, in this world. But then he addresses an issue that can get in the way of our having all that we need and doing with it what God wants us to do. We don't know who Chloe is. But apparently, Chloe was one of those persons in whose home the church met. And apparently, Chloe was a trusted informant. Because he says, Chloe's people say that there are divisions among you. Can you imagine divisions in the church? He says, one of you says, I belong to Apollos. Another says, I belong to Paul. Another says, I belong to Cephas, who is Peter. Another says, I belong to Christ. That's interesting because scholars disagree on whether he's actually describing a situation where people are claiming that they have a special status because of who baptized them, or if St. Paul is giving what he would consider a ludicrous example. Nobody would say that. Nobody would say, I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Paul, or I belong to Cephas. And certainly no one would say, I belong to Christ, and other people don't. Except that that's what a lot of us have been saying for 20 centuries, isn't it? I'm Christian, and you're not, for whatever reason we choose during that period of time that we want to exclude folks. Either way, it would be kind of silly for us, wouldn't it, to say, oh, I belong to Tom Laney, I belong to David Watson, I belong to Michael Williams. Of course you don't. Did any of us die for you? That's what Paul says. Was I crucified for you? No. No. What binds us together is what God has done through Jesus. In all of our diversity, in all of our differences, it's God that provides the unity, the thing that holds us together. It really doesn't matter that we differ on politics, on theology, social issues. What matters is that God has called us together in our diversity to work together so that we can accomplish what God is trying to accomplish, what St. Paul calls the kingdom of God. That the world should be as God dreamed it would be. Now, this too is kind of a challenge for us, because even though we might not claim a special status because we were baptized by a certain pastor, it might not be so unusual for one of us to say, well, you know, I belong to Vanderbilt. I belong to the University of Tennessee. I belong to the University of Alabama. I belong to Auburn. You fill in the name, right? Our identity comes from the team we support. Oh, yeah, they teach classes there too, don't they? That's what I've heard anyway. Or we say, I belong to the Democrats, I belong to the Republicans, I belong to the Tea Party, I belong to Move On, you pick it. Our identity comes from some kind of political stance that we take. And of course, we are absolutely right in whatever stance we take, and everybody else is absolutely wrong, and St. Paul says that isn't the point. Even when we look at nations, I belong to the United States, or I belong to France, or I belong to Cambodia, or I belong to Zimbabwe, or you pick it. You know, before there were Reporters Without Borders, and before there were Doctors Without Borders, there were Christians Without Borders. Because you see, Christianity is not a state religion, no matter how hard we've tried to make it that. You look at a globe and you see all of those boundaries drawn on it. Have you ever seen a photograph taken from space? None of those are there. God didn't create those boundaries. We created those boundaries to divide ourselves. Chloe's people tell me that there are divisions among you. Well, yeah. Yeah. When I was about to be appointed to this church, I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again. When I was about to be appointed to this church, I received an anonymous letter, and often I just trash anonymous letters because I think if you're not willing to put your name on something, it doesn't deserve to have much attention paid to it. But I read this one, and in this letter, I have no idea who it came from. It was suggested that the bishop was sending me here to punish me. It could be the bishop was sending me here to punish you, you know. Don't laugh. That the bishop knew I would fail and was sending me here so I would fail. And that the reason for that is that this was a church filled with factions. They were all lies. I don't believe for a minute that the bishop sent me here to punish me. I think he thought it was a good match. I don't believe for a minute that the bishop sent me here to fail. I believe the bishop sent me here to help lead you all in the vision you all had already decided was yours from God. And I've not experienced that factionalism at all. Differences, yes. Okay? Those are healthy. That's great. But factions go beyond differences. Factions are those groups that think they're superior to other groups and war against them for position. I haven't experienced that. I don't expect to. You see, St. Paul gave us the answer to this. And I have my arguments with Paul, okay? But it was a stroke of genius. I don't know whether he came up with it or borrowed it from someone else. But when he said, we are all the body of Christ, and each one of us members of it, he gave us the perfect image of unity within diversity. Just because you're an ear, you can't tell the eye you're not a part of the body. Just because you're the hand, you can't tell the foot you're not a part of the body. We need every single gift. Every single person brings something to the life of this congregation that is essential to it if we're going to do what God calls us to do. Now, some of those gifts are very obvious. Those of us who provide music on Sunday morning, for example. Those of us who sit at tables in Reed Hall and tell you about certain projects and educate you or tell you about certain groups. Some are much less obvious. You know, every first Sunday, all of this communion stuff here just appears by magic. It's just magic. You don't see who puts it there, do you? But there are a lot of people working behind the scenes to make sure that's prepared for all of us. Each of those is a spiritual gift. A little later in this letter, Paul will say, about spiritual gifts, my brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are a diversity of gifts, but there is one Spirit. It is that one Spirit that brings us together. Not that we agree on everything, but that when we see another person, we see a part of the body of Christ. Not an enemy, not someone who disagrees, not someone who's even misguided. We see a member of the body of Christ. And they have something that is essential to our life together. You have something that is essential to our life together that we just can't do without. How you live that out, how you grow in that understanding, I don't know. Maybe you take part in a covenant discipleship group. We focused on that recently. Maybe you take the disciple Bible study. There's a whole series of those. Maybe through your Sunday school you do that. I don't know how you grow toward recognizing your own part in the body of Christ and sharing that. It's just important that you do. Because you see, preachers come and go. Sports teams come and go. Believe it or not, national boundaries come and go. But the one thing that lasts is the steadfast love of God that has been shared in the person of Jesus Christ and is constantly attempting to be shared through us. So I'm going to offer you and challenge you to use a spiritual discipline. Whenever you see another member of this congregation, tell yourself, this is a member of the body of Christ. Ask yourself, what part in the body of Christ does this person have? And why is it important that they share it with me? One way we express our unity within our great diversity is through affirmations and creeds. I invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. Let's affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is created, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. And if you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church and a fresh baked treat for you. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. We ask that you please note if these requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential among the pastoral staff. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down your pew in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew, Please take note of those who are worshiping with you today and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of the service. Today we celebrate with Ryan and Becky Gardenhire on the birth of a daughter, Willa Marie, who was born on September the 18th. Willa is also welcomed by her big brother, Cassius. Today we also offer our sympathy to a number of our West End families. We continue to keep the family of Ann Eisenhower in our prayers, who died Monday, January the 13th. Services were held Friday, January the 17th. Among her survivors is her husband, Albert Ike Eisenhower, and daughter, Ashley Edwards. We also mourn with Joyce DeRory, who is mourning the death of her stepdaughter, Bridget Ann DeRory, who died Wednesday, January the 15th. The services were held in Winchester, Tennessee. We also keep in our prayers Bill and Sue Miller and their family, who are mourning the death of Bill's sister, Beverly Kyle, who died Thursday, January the 16th in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we continue to keep in our prayers the family of Sue Wade Peters, whose services will be held here this afternoon at 3 o'clock in the sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 1 p.m. in Reed Hall. Let us now prepare to hear our loving God speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, may your Spirit give strength to all your people as they work and witness in your world. Unite us in your truth and love, and help us to show your love to all. We pray for all people, for places where there is war or famine. We especially pray this day for the people of southern Sudan, for other parts of Africa and the Middle East. God, we invite you to help everyone to share all the good gifts that you have given to us. May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom and discernment. May diplomacy win out over warfare. We pray for our community and for all who live and work in this area. Grant a warm place to those who have no home, who live in our midst. Grant healing to those we know and those who live thousands of miles away. May they know your love and care, compassionate God. Creator God, offer wholeness to those who are sick in body, mind, and spirit, that they may know your peace and strength. God of hope, we pray for all who mourn this day. We are thankful that not even death can separate us from your love. Help all who feel the sting of death this day to feel your love surround them. Loving God, we give this week into your hands. Be present with us in all that we will do and say. Remind us to enjoy the days you give to us and help us to grow from all our life experiences. Grant that as we live in your love, may our lives reflect your kingdom in this world. And now, with the confidence that we are loved by you, O God, let us pray the prayer your Son taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Generous God, you have already given us all that we need. Help us trust your continued care, that we may share with others the abundance of your blessings through the giving of your tithes and our offerings.
Before I send you forth, I'd like to share a celebration with you. Our friend Ruth Close, this past Friday, celebrated her 103rd birthday. She was present in the first service and is present almost every week. So what a celebration, eh? And now go forth to be the loving light of Christ. As the body of Christ, God has given you everything you need. And God, who is the source of all light and love, Jesus Christ, God's light and love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to reflect that light and love, be with you this week and forevermore. Go in peace.